Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 22. As we continue in our series in Genesis, we come to a well-known passage here, and we're going to read the whole of the chapter, but you'll see that our focus will really be on verses 1 through 19. This is a story that I think just about all of us know pretty well. Even you younger ones will know this story. This is one of the greatest, I think anyway, greatest Old Testament proclamations of the gospel. We've already seen several great ones in our study of Genesis, and this account in chapter 22 is, well, just glorious. And so we're going to give our attention to this chapter, but first let's pray. Our Lord, we bow before your sovereignty, before your wisdom, and we ask that for a moment that you would enable us, by the grace of the Lord Jesus, to enter into an understanding of this truth set forth here in this passage, that we would see it for our own hearts and souls, that we ourselves would learn the lesson of faith, that we would take courage and hope in the covenant promises, because we have seen your mighty substitution displayed for us in this story of Abraham and Isaac and the ram. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand then for the reading of God's word again, Genesis chapter 22. This is God's word. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Indeed, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor. Huz, his firstborn, Buz, his brother, Kemuel, the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazo, Pildash, Jidlaph, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Rumah, also bore Teba, Gaham, Thahash, and Makkah. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Now, remember the broader context here. It's been a difficult, trying time, also an exciting time in the life of Abraham. That's alluded to in verse 1. Now, it came to pass after these things. What were these things? Well, the things of chapter 21, especially immediately. In chapter 21, we have the birth of Isaac. It's spoken of very briefly, actually. And then immediately there's this tension that comes into Abraham and Sarah's life. Tension with Hagar and Ishmael. And Abraham has to cast them off. Abraham at one point had thought that Ishmael would be the promised son. But God has been very clear that the promised seed would not be Ishmael. And so it was necessary to cast him off, to send his mother and Ishmael away. And Abraham has had this tension with King Abimelech. We looked at that last time over a well and Abraham's place in the promised land. And now in chapter 22, Abraham has just one son left. That's what it says in verse 2. That is his son Isaac, whom he loves. And now God comes to Abraham, having already cast off one of his sons, just one son left. God comes to Abraham with a great test and says, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. What a terrible test it was. One thing to send Ishmael away with his mother, but to sacrifice Isaac? He's the son of promise, the son of Abraham and Sarah, the son through whom the promise of the covenant was to come, the one through whom Abraham would become the father of many nations. But how could he be the father of many nations without Isaac, his son, his only son? Without Isaac, the promise fails. This was his only son whom he loved. And now God comes with this command to take his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loves, and to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. God tells him what to do, tells him where to do it. Go to the land of Moriah, and I will show you the mountain on which you are to sacrifice your son to me as a burnt offering. And what is Abraham's response to this terrible command, this terrible test? Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Certainly he could have given just about any kind of excuse for disobedience, any number of excuses. He could have raised all kinds of objections and questions. Why, God, would you have me do this? Surely you cannot be pleased by the sacrifice of one son. What about the promised seed, the covenant promises, the being the father of many nations? Would you give this son, this promised son, just to take him away? Was he born to die? But Abraham does not ask such questions. No excuses. He rises early the next morning and goes about all the preparations. Saddles the donkey. Gathers two servants. Gets his son Isaac. He splits the necessary wood for a burnt offering. And they're on their way. They begin the journey to the land of Moriah. And in verse 4, we learn that it was a journey of several days. Several days. Can you imagine how difficult it must have been for Abraham to split the wood that morning, the wood upon which the blood of his son would be shed? Can you imagine what a difficult journey for 3 days as each step is taking them one step closer to slaying the son that he loves, his only son? For 3 days, the father of many nations walked beside the son of promise, knowing that he must put the son of promise to death. For 3 days, he continued in obedience to God, journeying to the mountain. And finally, in verse 5, they see the mountain afar off, and now Abraham speaks the gospel for the first time in this passage, in this account. And notice two things here in verse 5. Abraham and Isaac are going to the mountain to worship. He's going to worship God, this God who has commanded him to sacrifice his own son. He's going to worship God. How hard it is to worship God when he takes from you what he has given. How hard it is to believe that God will restore from his own fullness all that he takes away. And yet Abraham believes that this is what God will do. Notice his language here. The first proclamation of the gospel in this account in Genesis 22, he says, "We will come back to you." Not "I will come back to you." We will come back. In the midst of this great trial, Abraham had faith that God would give his son back to him, that somehow, Isaac would live. By faith, he believed that his son would live. And so here is the first gospel proclamation from the lips of Abraham. And with that gospel proclamation, look at what he did in verse 6. "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife." And so here now is Isaac, his son, his only son, the son whom he loves, walking up the mountain, carrying the wood on which he is to be sacrificed. And there was his father, Abraham, carrying the knife with which he would slay his son, his only son, Isaac, whom he loved, and carrying the fire with which his son would be consumed. They head up the mountain. Now, as difficult as that ascent up the mountain was, with Isaac carrying the wood, Abraham carrying the fire and the knife, still more difficult must have been the question then that came from Isaac's lips in verse 7. "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Father, what is this? We have everything we need except the sacrifice. Everything except the lamb, the main part. We need a lamb for the sacrifice, the blood shed, the life of the lamb taken. Where is the lamb?" And Abraham responds in verse 8, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb." And here is the second proclamation of the gospel from the lips of Abraham in this passage. God will provide for himself the lamb. Abraham knew that no sacrifice offered by man could ever atone for sin. He knew that not even the fruit of his own body could atone for the sin of his soul. God must provide the sacrifice. And he proclaimed this gospel to his son, his only son, Isaac, whom he loved, even as he was carrying the knife, carrying the fire, and as his son carried the wood. "My son, God himself will provide the lamb for himself." And with that, the two of them went up the mountain. Verse 9, they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And how hard that must have been. And the next step harder still. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Oh, and then harder still. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Can you imagine this? It's a familiar story, and yet it strikes us hard every time we read it. Put yourself in the place of Isaac. Your father, who loves you, has bound you and laid you upon an altar, upon the very wood that you carried to that altar. And now you see him reaching for the knife to slay you. Can you put yourself in the place of Abraham, binding your son, your only son, your son whom you love, laying your son upon the altar and taking the knife to slay your beloved son? Well, there are no words from either of them here. No words in verse 9 or 10, no questions, no answers. It's a point of high drama, and yet not so much as a word is spoken from the father or from the son. There are no seven sayings from the altar, not so much as a single word. It is mercifully silent at this point. But the silence is suddenly pierced by the angel of the Lord as he speaks the word of the Lord. Verse 11, he calls out, "Abraham, Abraham! Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. The angel of the Lord stays the hand of the Father. The angel of the Lord saves the Son, and this angel of the Lord is no ordinary angel. This is the angel of the Lord. This is the second person of the Trinity. This is the pre-incarnate Christ. And with what joy he proclaims the gospel to Abraham and Isaac, to father and son there on Mount Moriah. Do not lay your hand on the lad. He was not born to die. He was born to live. This is the child of promise, and I do not break my promises. I am the one who will come. I am the son who will be born that man no more may die. I am the son who will be born to raise the sons of earth. I am the son who will be born to give them second birth. Can you imagine the relief, more than relief, joy, the gladness that fills Abraham's heart? With what gladness he put down the knife, unbound his son, took him off the altar and embraced him once again. It was as though he had received his son back from the dead. And then having preached the gospel to Abraham and Isaac, the Lord now illustrates that gospel to Abraham and Isaac. Verse 13. Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Isaac is spared. Another sacrifice is found. And Abraham took the knife with which he was to slay his son, and instead of his son, he slayed the ram. And Abraham took the ram and placed it upon the altar instead of his son, and burned the ram with fire instead of his son, his only son. And you see, everything here speaks of substitution, and how precious that substitution must have been to father and son, to Abraham and Isaac. And we tried to put ourselves in the place of Isaac a moment ago, and in the place of Abraham. But you see, you don't need to. And you never, never will. Because Jesus has put himself in the place of Isaac. And the Father, your Father and mine, has put himself in the place of Abraham. And when you read and you begin to understand Genesis 22 as an Old Testament picture of Calvary and what the Father and the Son have done for you, you cannot help but worship. And that's exactly what Abraham and Isaac did there on the mountain. They worshiped the Lord together. And in that worship, Abraham proclaims the gospel again. Verse 14, he names the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And there is the greatest gospel proclamation of all from the lips of Abraham. This is the message of the gospel. The Lord will provide. It's Genesis 3. Adam fails to crush the head of the serpent. God will provide. God will provide the seed who will crush the head of the serpent. And here the Lord provides. He provides the substitute. And this gospel, we're told, was repeated until the day of Moses, the end of verse 14. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. These events of Genesis 22, well known to us, take place upon Mount Moriah. It is there that the Lord will provide, not at Mount Sinai, but at Mount Moriah. It's significant. This is a significant place. Do you know what was later built upon Mount Moriah? According to 2 Chronicles 3:1, it was the temple of the Lord that was built on Mount Moriah. And in that temple, these sacrifices were made. Time and time and time again. How many thousands and thousands of lambs were sacrificed on this mount? All of them, every one of them, pointing forward to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And the Lord's provision is given fully in his own son, who went to a hill just outside of Jerusalem. And as he carried his cross and went to Golgotha, he didn't need to ask Isaac's question, Father, where is the lamb? He knew himself to be that lamb. And as he was bound to the cross, the Father's hand was not stayed. nothing to stop the slaying of God's only begotten Son. And there, in the slaying of Jesus at the cross, at Calvary, on Mount Moriah, the Lord provides. As you look at this tonight, do you see the day of the Lord? Do you see it, and are you glad? Abraham saw it. Abraham saw it in shadow form here in Genesis 22, and yet by faith, he saw enough of the gospel that Jesus could say of Abraham, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." He saw it and was glad. By faith, he believed that his son would live and that he would receive him back from the dead. And figuratively, he did. But we live not in the days of shadows and types. We live in the day of fulfillment. And we look to the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we see the day of the Lord. Do you rejoice? Are you glad? You have been brought back from the dead, raised from the dead in him, given second birth. This is the mount of God's redeeming love, where the Father's hand was not stayed against his only begotten Son, his beloved Son, the Son whom he loved. And why? Why did he go through with it? Because, child of God, because, Son of God, because of his love for you. This is the mount of God's redeeming love. Here is the mount which we praise and upon which we are fixed. And it's with good reason that the events of Genesis 22 take place upon Mount Moriah, for that name means God is my teacher. And here God teaches Abraham and Isaac and us that he does not break his word. He keeps his promises. He provides, and he has provided. And the entirety of our salvation from beginning to end rests in that provision of his own Son, in whom all of the promises of God are yes and amen. It's a message we need to hear, and we need to hear it time and time again. Praise the Lord for it. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we, coming to a passage like this, are profoundly aware of our own inadequacies. We cannot do justice to the glory of your word. The truth of your plan of redemption is so profound. No human could have invented this, could have foretold it. It's one of the grand testimonies, indeed, to the authority, the truthfulness of this word. What man would have invented a plan of redemption like this? And we're moved when we see the sacrifice. We're moved when we see the substitute. And when we see Isaac here, O Lord, help us to see Christ in his place. And we praise you, even as we trust in you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.